Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy that another week has rolled by and that we can come into your homes or wherever you live. And maybe you're truck drivers and you're watching us on that, or you're farmers and you're working in your tractors. We just hear from everybody. And we're just so thankful all of you can join us today. And we really got a good sermon today. It's entitled, Liar, Liar, Tongue on Fire. And we're going to talk about that tongue. And I hope you just stay, because we all have a tongue, so we all should be interested in it. But first of all, I want to read some of the letters we got, and I want to thank you for the letters. And a little bit later in the service, I'll give you your address so you can get a pencil and a paper ready. And we'd just love to hear from you, because then we know where you're at and what you're thinking about, and maybe we can plan something in our service to help you. So let's look at some of our letters today. And the first one is kind of a sad letter, and it comes from Foreman, North Dakota. And they write, we are closing our account as the church is no longer in existence. That's the Foreman Congregational Church. We have become a part of a community church, and when the weather doesn't allow us to leave, have services, we all watch the Christian Worship Hour. We're always sad when a church closes, but God doesn't close. He just moves in different ways. He gathers in different groups, but it's the same God, and it's the same kingdom. And God's kingdom will never close. The day's going to come when God's kingdom is going to rule the whole world. And won't the people sit up and take notice then? Here's a letter, and this is a beautiful letter. Dear River, Minnesota, keep preaching the true way of salvation as my 11-year-old granddaughter came to know Jesus through your ministry. And, you know, that just thrills our heart, because there's three things we have in mind as the Christian Worship Hour. The first and foremost is to honor God Almighty and to bring glory to his name. The second is to bring Jesus to God, bring people to Jesus. The lost, the drifting, those who are deep in sin, we want them to become a child of God through Jesus. And the third thing about the Christian Worship Hour, we want to comfort God's people, just like God told Isaiah. And there are a lot of people that are struggling, Christian people in old age, but not always old age. Young people struggle. And comfort God's people. Here's a letter from Jefferson City, Missouri. This is from a prisoner. And listen to this story. Dear Brother Harold, I just received the Bible and study packet you sent me. Thank you very much. I really love the Bible. In your letter, you said that you didn't know how long I'll be in prison. Well, I'm here for the rest of my life. I'm serving 2 life sentences and 28 years for murder. I've been in prison now for over 30 years. You know, Brother Harold, since I accepted Jesus in my life, I don't feel like I'm in prison. I wake up every morning and spend an hour praying and talking to God, and I spend a couple hours each night reading the Bible you sent me. I don't feel like I'm in prison anymore. I feel more free now than I've ever felt before in my life. Dear brother, thank you again for the Bible and study packet. I pray that God blesses you and your family and everyone there at the Christian Worship Hour. Now, I want to tell you, friends, your gifts and your prayers made this possible. We were able to have a ministry that reaches into the prisons, and we hear from a lot of prisoners. And here's a man, and he's serving for murder. And that's right. He should. That's just exactly right, according to the Bible. But he is a free man in his spirit. And, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't behind iron bars that are slaves of something. And you can come to Jesus and be set free. St. Paul was in prison. And while he was in prison, he was a witness for the Lord Jesus. And so we're praying for this dear brother that he'll be a witness and a shining light for the Lord. Oh, it's wonderful to be able to preach the gospel. And your gifts and your prayers make it possible. And I'll give you an address in a little while here. But first of all, let's look at our verse for today, our sermon for today, and it's taken from James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. James writes, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell." Good grief! Saint Paul James is talking about that tongue. And you know there's a lot in the Bible about the tongue. And we need to read about it and we need to study it, because I'll bet you in my ministry of 72 years, I've preached at least 50 times on the tongue, because it's so important. And so I want to look at two things about the tongue today. First of all, we're going to look and see about the great damage that the tongue can do. And the second thing we want to look at is the great blessings the tongue can bring. And it says we can end on a high note as we use our tongues to praise God and praise Jesus. But it can bring great damage. James says right here, the tongue is a fire, world of iniquity, set on fire of hell. Look at that. It defileth the whole body. It setteth on fire the course of nature. Is set on fire of hell. It is a powerful thing, and that little old tongue can cause oh so much damage. And then he talks about here, he's set on fire of hell. When I read about that, I thought about the great Chicago fire. And it all took place 8:30 p.m., October 8th, 1871. It's reported that Mrs. O'Leary's cow out in the cow barn kicked over the lantern and started that great horrible fire of Chicago. And I don't know if a cow did that or not, but I'm going to tell you something I do know. I used to milk cows as a boy out on the farm, and those cows could kick over a lantern. Those cows, someone could kick out the light of the moon, I do believe. There, boy, I'm telling you, get a mean cow and you got a problem. And so Mrs. O'Leary's cow here, now I have no question what she did. Kick over that lantern and the fire started. One little lantern, but that one little fire spread, and the great Chicago fire resulted in over 800,000 people left homeless. 17,500 buildings were destroyed and 300 people died. It cost the city of Chicago over $400 million. And that day could probably be in the billions. It was a terrible thing, and it was all because of one little fire. Look at the damage done. And so it is with the tongue. Look at the damage it can do. Such a little thing, but it's slippery. And it's so easy to just slip and say the wrong thing. But I wonder how many homes have been wrecked and marriages wrecked because of that little tongue. Hard, fiery words spit out of our mouth as parents fuss with each other. And sometimes it's at the children, and we're giving cutting words to our children, cut them down and put them down. Sometimes the children have their little old tongues a-going, say things to their parents and to other people that they should never even say. That's the way it is in the church. I was in the church almost all of my ministry. James says the tongue defileth the whole body. He's talking about the body of Christ, the church. And he says that this one tongue can defile the whole body, the whole church. And sometimes people just use the tongue to inflame a situation, just to stir things up. I've seen those people. They just can say certain things and get everybody worked up, get them worked up with their tongue and cause strife. And that's a terrible thing, to cause strife in the church of God, in the body of Christ. You know, you read in Proverbs chapter 6 about some things that God hates. Let me read them to you. Proverbs 6, 16 and 19 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." Then he lists them: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to running in mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God hates it when you use your tongue to cause discord among the church people, or where you work, or in the school, or wherever you are. But especially in the church, the body of Christ, you're desecrating Christ's body when you use that tongue in a terrible way. And I'd rather lose my right arm than to cause discord in the church and cause God to look down upon us and feel that way. And so we think about the blessings. We think about the awful curse of the tongue, but let's spend most of our time talking about the blessings that we get from that tongue. And with that blessings, we can bless and help our fellow men, those brothers and sisters in Christ, those people we work with. That tongue can be used to encourage other people. And so many times are discouraged people, and we can help them and just a word and lift their spirits and change their day. Or we can use it to bring peace among people. Remember what Jesus said? Blessed are the peacemakers. And that's what we have to do. Use that tongue to bring peace among people. And instead of setting a church on fire or the place on fire, we can bring peace and quietness. So the wise man of Proverbs said long time ago, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And that's the way we ought to live, working with the Lord. And I just put down some of the key words that we could use to bring peace among people and to put oil on troubled waters and smooth things out and settle things down. I wrote down some of them. I put down one word we can use is please. And when we say please, it shows that we stand in need, or it's showing that we need someone's help. It shows courtesy to others. Just you use please. Just practice that word. Or the word thank you, being appreciative to those around us, not taking everything for granted. And sometimes husbands take their wife for granted and just go, she's always going to be there. Well, my wife isn't there anymore. God took her home 10 years ago, going on 11. Show respect to her. Show you that you appreciate her. And do that for your children and encourage them. Say thank you for the things that they do. And then you could say, oh, here, I put this down. I was wrong, admitting when we are wrong. And who is there of us has never been wrong? Well, there's some people that think they've never been wrong, but they're so wrong they can't even face it and realize it. And some people just not going to admit it. Just say, I was wrong. Go to your wife and tell her you're wrong. She'll probably pass out. She ever heard of such a thing? Or another one that go hand in hand with that. I am sorry. How many fights could have been ended? How many hard feelings could have been stopped? How many grudges could have been nipped in the bud if we would just say, I am sorry. And in our heart, yeah, maybe you are sorry, but boy, to get it out on your tongue is a tough time. It's hard, I know. I'm just in the same boat you are in. And I should have said, I'm sorry for times when I didn't say it, but because I was just too proud to ask for forgiveness and to go my own way, do my own thing. And so this wonderful Lord tells us, you need to just humble yourself, tell people you're sorry. Or here's another one I put down. I love you. God instructs us, brothers and sisters, to love each other in Christ. He said, Jesus said in John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Not some gushy, romantic, fakey form of love, but a genuine caring for each other, a love for one another, a deep meaning for each other. Just to pray, just tell them, I love you. Oh, it could change things. And then finally I put down, we should say, I'm praying for you. That encourages me more than anything else. I've had people tell me that they're praying for me. There couldn't be a nicer thing. There couldn't be a more wonderful thing. I remember I had two brothers in Christ that are gone now, and they always used to tell me they prayed for me. And I know my dear saintly mother prayed for me. Oh, God bless her. And I just thank God for her. And I just pray that we'll just pray for each other. And the worst thing you can do is to tell somebody you're going to pray for them and then don't do it. I have to write it down when I say, write it down. Maybe you'll pray for them one or two times. That's all you have to pray for them. Maybe you'll pray for them every day. I pray for my children every day of the year without fail. And so just learn to say, just use some of these words and God will bless you for it. And then another thing we can do with our tongue, we can use our tongue to praise God. James says, therewith bless we God, even the Father. We need to use our tongue to sing His praises, to thank Him for His goodness, to adore and worship our God. That's the correct use of the tongue. We bring God honor to God's name. We bless His heart when we use our tongues to sing His praises and to talk and tell others about the wonderful Savior. When we thank Him for our salvation, full and free, eternal and age abiding, when we tell others about the peace of heart that we have when we accept Jesus, and we know that all of our sins are washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Oh my God, we can't help but praise God for that. I think of some of my sins of the past. Thank God they're all gone. Wouldn't you like to know what they are? Wouldn't you like to know what some of my sins are? Well, ho, 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 you'll never know because they're washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, my God, how can you not praise Jesus for taking away those black, dirty sins? And I get letters all the time, and people say, oh, my sins are so bad, He never forgave me. I sinned, God committed the unpardonable sin. Just in passing, you can't commit the unpardonable sin. You had to do that when Jesus was here. You can't commit it. Then Jesus says, whosoever will may come. He says, He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come unto repentance. And He tells us also, oh, I love it, it's John 5:24. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, the Bible, my word, and believeth on him that sent me has right now, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. Oh, how can we take those things and not praise the wonderful Savior? So we thank Him that we have that wonderful place. And He tells us, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then Thomas said, Lord, oh Lord, we want to go to heaven, but we don't have the road map. How do we get there? How do we get to heaven? And Jesus said, I am the way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets into heaven but by me. Very narrow, but that's the gospel. But the gospel is open. So we praise God, praise Him. And finally, with our tongues, we make known Him among men. We tell the whole world about Jesus. That's what the Christian worship hour is all about, is to honor God and to bring sinners to Jesus and to comfort God's people. And we do it with our tongue. And there are some people we write in and they can't hear us, but they read lips or they watch the closed caption, but use that tongue. With the tongue, we can bless God. Tell the good news of the gospel. Most people don't read the Bible, and if they do, it's painfully little. And so we tell them about what's in the Bible. We tell them of God's love. We tell them there's a hell that's coming, and if you don't have Jesus, you're going to go to hell. That's what Jesus said. And He warned us and warned us and warned us, but we don't preach it. We don't hear it preached. But you better ought to preach it because it's there and it's real. And if you don't come to Jesus, you're going to be in hell just sure as the world. God have mercy. And so with this tongue, we tell the whole world that God had a son, a beautiful, beloved son, His only son. He came into this world. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He grew to manhood, perfect manhood. And eventually He went to the cross. And on that cross, He paid for our sins with His own blood. He took all of the sins of the world on Himself and He paid for them. But they won't help you one bit unless you accept that sacrifice by faith. Come to Jesus Christ. You have to be born again. And that means you have to ask Jesus into your heart. So we tell the good news of the gospel. Then tell the world, saved if they'll call up, they can be saved if they call on the name of the Lord. And it is so simple that a little child can accept Jesus. I accepted the Jesus when I was 10 years old, way out on the farm. We lived so far out in the sticks at the sunset before it got to our place. Can you believe it? And God came out into that place with an evangelist and a country schoolhouse, and he preached. And the first time I heard it, I went to Jesus. That was the smartest thing I ever did. And you ought to come to Jesus, and he's talking to you right now. And he's tugging at your heart. And he's saying, I want to come into your heart. I want to come into your life. And you ought to ask him in. Don't put it off. And then tell others. Use that tongue to sing the praises of God. You know, there's a song we sing in the church so many times. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Charles Wesley wrote those words. And in this song, when he wrote it, he had 11 verses and 19 verses. And when he, on his 11th anniversary of his accepting Jesus, he wrote this thousand tongues. And he told about how the 119th verse goes like this. He says, I felt my Lord's atoning blood close to my soul applied. Me he loved, the Son of God for me. For me, he died. And the song was written by Charles Wesley. And later on, somebody said, a pastor says, if I had a thousand tongues, I'd sing. And he changed the name of that song. Because originally, the song was the anniversary day of one's conversion. That's why he wrote it. But when he heard that pastor say that, he says, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Oh, my God, that's what we have to do. And that's what St. Charles Wesley did. John and Charles Wesley, they used their tongue to sing the praises of God, and they went preaching. And St. John and Wesley worked sometimes 15 to 18 hours a day spreading the gospel and singing the gospel and preaching the gospel. It's estimated they traveled at over a quarter of a million miles, mostly on horseback in Great Britain, preaching the word, telling the word, talking about Jesus, using their tongues for Jesus. And they conducted more than 40,000 public services. They were obsessed with using their tongue to tell about Jesus, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And so we worship Jesus Christ today because he is going to do for us what is not only what he has done, but what he is going to do in the future. The book of Revelation tells us the Father's on the throne. Jesus Christ sits at his own right hand. And all the hosts of heaven praise him day and night. With their tongues, they sing his praises right now. Jesus Christ is the center of heaven's worship. And St. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:21, far above all principality and power and might, he's exalted far above all principality, power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. What a wonderful, wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He's talking to you right now. I know he is, all over the world, thousands of people. And like as God tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. And he says, I knock. And if any man will open that door, I will come in. I'll come into his life. I'll come into his heart. And I'll cleanse him from his sin. He says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And I will fellowship with him and with him. I'll give you a fellowship. And that fellowship will start. It will never end until we get to eternity. And so what you need to do, you need to pray, dear Jesus. Start to do it right now. Do it with me. Dear Jesus, I have sinned against you, and I ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sin, and I'll follow you the best I can. That is, you're going to turn from all of your evil ways. Anything that's wrong, you're going to turn from it. That's repentance, and I'll turn from my evil ways, and I'll make you the Lord of my life. Just your own words, just tell him that. Had a man, he never prayed before in his life, I don't think, and he prayed that, and he didn't know to say amen. He said goodbye. Fine, say whatever you want from your heart. That's what we're talking about. Ask Jesus into your heart. You do that right now, and that wonderful Lord Jesus will enter your heart. Now, you may feel peace, and you may feel joy, and you may not feel anything, because it is a contract you are making. It says of Abraham, he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. You believe God, you're asking him in your heart, and that settles it. If you have feelings, good. If you don't have feelings, doesn't make a bit of difference. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're on your way to heaven. And if you've done that, you write to us. And you write to us anyway, and I'm going to give you the address now, because we need to have your help. We're not underwritten by any denomination or any corporation. We're just totally dependent on God's people who send in their gifts. And so we need your help. And St. James says, you have not because you ask not. So I'm asking you, you need to help us out. And so if you think it's something worthwhile, fine. If you don't, then give it to somebody else that you think's doing the work. But you need to help us, and if you believe in this work. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can send it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can say it on PayPal. You can send gifts from anywhere in the world, and we get gifts from all over the world to help us in this work. And so you be sure to write to us and do that. And if you want our little Bible study, just say the new song. We'll give you the new song. If you worry how we'll use the money, you just check on an organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check our books, what comes in and what goes out, and we're clean as a hound's tooth, and we're proud to let them do it. So now I want to pray for you. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Egypt that are suffering for Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the multitudes that are opening their heart to you right now. Thank you for the salvation. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then, dear Lord, I'm praying for those dear people in Egypt, our brothers and sisters who are suffering there, and comfort the families that are left behind and give them strength and courage. And for all of those who maybe have trouble today, maybe they're shut-ins, maybe they're aged, maybe they're young people not knowing what to do with their life, maybe they're struggling and having a hard time. And so, dear Jesus, pray for them. Just bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you be sure to remember it. You got it on the screen there. Christian Worship Hour, 2002, Aberdeen. We'll be praying for you. You pray for us. And next week, we'll get together again. And I'll tell you ahead of time, it's going to be an exciting sermon. I just love to preach it. It's a sermon about money. And oh boy, won't some people jump. But just tell your friends, have them tune us in. And we'll just work together and wait until Jesus comes or next week comes. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.